Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
We know that we have eternal life. Not only is there a witness of the Spirit that testifies within us that we have eternal life, but also we have eternal life and it's witnessed at the Word itself. The Word itself, the Word of God, testifies that we are His sons and daughters. And we know that because John even wrote it right here where we're going to be camping out today. And I want to be in verses 11 through 13. And check this out. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And the testimony is this. See, once again, he uses the word testimony. That God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In verse 13, man, this is amazing. These things I have written to you who believe. These things I have written to you who believe. Do you believe? If you believe, this is for you. To you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may what? May know that you have eternal life. So that you may know, so that you may rest assured, so that you may have the certainty, the assurance that you have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray your blessing as we speak of it and as we teach it today. May it dwell in our hearts and do the work that is sent for. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. What a great thing it is that we can trust God. That we can trust God and rest assured that when He says something, that's what it is. Amen? But unfortunately, sometimes we kind of like, whoa, wait a second. We get rattled by ourselves. I think the one thing that rattles me the most is myself. When I look at myself and I look at who God is and I look at some things, I'm like, whoa, I'm way far behind. And that makes me start looking at self on my own and not seeing the image of Christ in me, not seeing the imputed presence of Christ that is within me, that God has placed within me, His Spirit and Jesus dwelling in me. And sometimes I am oblivious to that truth because I look at myself and I see a fleshly man who struggles in life. And then if I'm not careful enough, my mirror starts looking more and more like myself. Therefore, I start doubting more and more what God says about me and what He says about Himself. I start marring this image that God has placed in us. And that is not right. But let me tell you something. I want you to know that the greatest gift that anybody can ever get is ours. We have it. When we have Christ, we have the greatest gift that can ever be had, eternal life. And eternal life, you see, in verses 11 and 12, it says very clear, this is the testimony. This is what God says, okay? This is what God says. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, in Christ. He who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son does not have this life. But He says, this is what I am saying. God is saying, I say this. To you, if you believe, you have eternal life. You see, and I give it to you. This is very important. Eternal life is a gift of God's generosity. It's a gift of God's generosity. It is not something that we earn. You cannot earn eternal life. You cannot earn. You can earn all kinds of earnings in this life to make the life that you want on this earth, whatever kind of life you think you want to have. You can work really hard. You can invest time. You can invest money. You can invest your everything and have the life that you want to have on this earth. But does it match what life God wants for you? That's the key thing here. Because you can actually earn and be rewarded for your hard work for so many things in life. But one thing you cannot earn is the life that God gives. You cannot earn God's favor. You cannot earn. You just cannot earn. I love that word, earn. You can't. Now, I'm going to make reference to a few verses here. So, and these are verses that are so known by so many of you. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We all heard this. For by what? By grace. Check that out. By grace you have been saved. You are saved by grace through faith. So you believe that God is gracious to give you life, to save you, okay? Simple concept, but it's so difficult to understand for us at the beginning. I never understood this until finally it hit me when the Holy Spirit came upon and gave me conviction. But check this out. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And this salvation, this is referring to salvation, is not of yourselves. It's not, it doesn't come from you. It is not born in you. It is a what? A gift. A gift. Actually, it's not a gift. It's the gift. The gift. No other gift like this one. Of whom? Of God. Not as result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the word of God. You cannot work hard enough or good enough to earn your salvation. It is only when you believe in the grace of God who graciously and generously gives it to you and me undeservingly. Because if it was deserved, then it would be earned. If I deserve salvation, then I've earned it. But since I cannot earn it, I don't deserve it. Therefore, I can't get it unless he gives it. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, there's another verse that we've heard so many times. For the wages of sin is what? Death. See, the wages. Wages is something you earn. That you have earned, my friend. That you and you and you and you out there have earned. Death. 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 That's what we've earned. But the gracious gift, you see that once again, gracious gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, in Christ our Lord. This is very important. It reinforces the point. God gives, and he gives generously by grace, not because you've earned it, not because you did so much. A gift is the opposite of a wage. You see, you make your wages, but God gives the grace of salvation. We earn death because of our sinful nature. We earn it. We do the works of death, which are sin, and we earned it. It is the reward that you and I deserve. We have, you know what? What don't you? If you ever want to ask God to reward you and pay you for what you earned, you're going to die. Have you ever thought about that? I hear so many people asking God for what they have done and they want their reward. I want my reward because I've earned it. Really? What you have earned is death, baby. And in the famous words of Frankie and Johnny, I say, you can have it. Let them have it. No. You remember that, right, Marco? Oh, my God. Let them have it. That's not good. That's what we earned. That's what we have earned. Those of you who probably grew up in New Orleans or at least been here for 20 years understand why I said that. Who say I say? Let them have it, yeah. That's messed up. But in contrast, of course, a gift is given, and it's given out of the generosity of God's heart, the generosity of the giver, and he is the giver of life. So we can clearly see that the gift of life is the result of an undeserved grace of God. It's undeserved, right? The only reason that we can have this abundant and eternal life is because of God's love and generosity towards you and me, period, okay? Now, number two, you see, this great gift of eternal life is not just something, it's someone. It has a name. This gift is a person, and his name is Jesus. When we speak of life eternal, we are not just referring to a life that is long. You see, when we think of eternal, we think of long, 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 forever. That's okay. That is one aspect of the eternal life that God gives. It's a life that lasts forever. But that's not exactly, you know, what it means as a whole. That is just part of it. See, the if you look at verse 20 right there in chapter 5, somewhere at the end, we're going to cover this later on. But if we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life is what? His Son Jesus Christ. The true God and eternal life is his Son Jesus Christ. It's right there. It's very important that we know. When we receive the gift of eternal life from God, then we receive Christ, the person who comes and dwells in our lives, the Savior. He is whom he says he is. And he did say, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way. He is the only life. He is the only truth. He is not a truth, a life, and a way. For those who are in the world, understand that Jesus is a way to them. Jesus is a truth to them. Jesus is a life to them, but they've chosen another one. But we know that the true life, the real life is, Jesus is the life, the truth, and the way. And there's none beside him or aside or anything outside of him. This is very important. We receive eternal life not only from Christ, but in Christ. We receive from Christ, but in Christ, and we receive Christ. He who has the Son has the life, in verse 12. He who has the Son has this life. And it doesn't say, he who has the Son has a life. Once again, he who has the Son has the life. This is important, again. Not just life, but the life, the one and only. Jesus is the only means by which we can receive the gift of eternal life. He's it. You cannot have eternal life aside from Christ. You cannot have eternal life unless you have Christ. Number three, the gift is received by faith. This is simple. I told you, this is a simple progression for us to believe. I hope that you're out there and listening, that you understand that this is for you. This is for you here. This is for you there. It's everywhere. It's by faith. God has gone on record here. God has witnessed and testified through his word that he offers eternal life to those who believe in Jesus Christ. This is a promise. And do you think that God fulfills his promise every single time? Even Jesus says, because all of his promises are yes and what? Amen. Which means yes, yes, yes. Okay, again, I was going to say otra vez, again in Spanish. See, that's what happens when I hear Jay speaking Spanish last week here. He's like, numero uno, and I'm like, whoa. Then it happens to me too, brother. Just kind of, I don't know. So you know what this means? This means that if you believe today, then you're receiving eternal life today. You don't have to wait until the end of time. You don't have to wait until Jesus comes to know that you have eternal life, or to even try to acquire eternal life, or to even like, well, we'll see what happens. You see, wondering and worrying does not give you eternal life. Faith is what gives you eternal life. And he says, see, he says has. It doesn't say will have or might have. There is an assurance, there's a certainty here that you have, that you have. As a matter of fact, in a couple of places, it says has. You know, it's done. You have it. And when it says that you have it, we're talking about something that is permanent. And we're going to talk about that in a second here. So if you believe today, you receive eternal life today. It starts today. You don't have to wait till the end of your days here on earth. Your faith today becomes eternal life today. All right? And it's been proven. It's been proven. You can see it. Throughout the ages, millions of Christians, you know, have proved this word that God has gone on record and saying you have eternal life because we have believed. And it says there that if you don't believe, then you make him a liar. It doesn't say that he is a liar. In your mind, you make him a liar when you don't believe. So when you don't place your faith in Christ Jesus, you're saying God is a liar. And you're like, well, I'm not really saying that. Yes, you are. When you don't believe Jesus Christ, when you don't believe, actually, because so many out there claim, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Really? What do you believe? Well, he was a prophet. There you go. You believe the wrong thing. then you make him a liar. Oh, he is the Son of God, but he is a lesser God. There you go. There's another lie. You don't have him. It's amazing. But you have to believe the right thing. We've talked about that so many times here. But if we truly believe, we can be certain that God gives us what he promises. And he gives eternal life, and he gave us eternal life where? At the cross, when he paid the price. When Jesus took on the wages that you earned. Can you think about that for a second? Have you ever earned something and then they give it to somebody else? Have you ever had that experience? You're like, whoa, that was, I'm the one who earned it. I'm the one who worked for that. I'm the one who needs to be rewarded here, and they give it to so-and-so. But think about it for a second. You earned death. That's your reward. And Jesus said, you still want it? I'll take it. I don't want that. I've earned that, but I don't want it. Can somebody take it? Jesus did. He took it. He took your reward, made it his, so that we could be set free. Amazing. See, but it's all by faith. You got to trust him. But let me go to the next point. Making sure that we are sure. This is very important because God once again says, I want to make sure that you're assured. I want to make sure that you make sure that you're assured. Certainty. All right? In verse 13, this is a famous verse that so many people, I mean, I quote this to myself. These things I have written to you who what? Who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. This is very important. Now, I told you at the beginning of this series back like when Noah came out of the ark, when we started, I told you that there's a few reasons why John writes this letter. And one of the reasons that we know that he wrote this letter, because he tells us in chapter 1 and verse 4, these things we write so that your joy may be complete. So he wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be completely joyful. That's one of the reasons why he wrote this letter. I want to bring you some joy. But then there's something else. And in the second chapter, at the beginning of the second chapter, in verse 1, it says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So have a happy life. Have a joyful life. Enjoy life. But that doesn't give you a license to sin. I'm writing you these things so that you live a joyful life, but I'm also writing you these things so that you do not sin. Because sin does not equal godly pleasure. Sin does not equal holiness. Sin does not equal abundant life. He makes a contrast. So I want you to have the good. I want you to discard the bad. Why? Why? And he writes us the big why, the answer to the big why for this letter, so that you may know that you have eternal life in Christ, so that you know that you know that you know. Giving us assurance. And of course, like I said, once we acquire this life not because of our earning, but because God graciously gives it to us and we start living it. And at times we stumble, at times we have problems, at times we sin, and we because we're looking, and sometimes we feel unsure because we're looking for the assurance or the certainties in the wrong places. You see, a lot of times we start looking at ourselves. Once again, like I said at the beginning, I start looking at my spiritual growth, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I really must have eternal life because I've been growing. That's kind of evidence. And I look at that, and that is great. And I'm being obedient to God in these areas, and I'm doing this, and I'm serving God. And I start looking at all that I'm doing. I'm being obedient. So all of those are evidence that I have eternal life. You know what? Those are evidences, maybe. This evidence of your Christian walk. But, you know, this is not what your salvation is assured and certain in. This is not the basis of your salvation. That's why there are so many Christians who say, I'm saved. And the moment you ask them, are you sure you're going to heaven when Jesus comes or something like that? Or when you die? Or you talk about stuff. And they're like, well, yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Well, if you're going to wait and see, why don't you see it now? Believe it. Because believing is seeing it, right? Now, you see, we have these doubts because we keep looking at ourselves. And are the assurance of our salvation cannot be found in my works or in myself or in my evidence of my Christian walk. That's not necessarily the assurance of my salvation. The assurance of my salvation is in the objective word of God, not subjective. You heard that? It's the objective truth of God, not subjective. And it's not something for me to say, well, to me, I'm saved, but to you, it may not mean that you're saved or not. You see, yeah, but that's not what it depends on, whether you think or not or whatever. It depends on what God says. And believe in what God says. We should have confidence. We should have trust. We should be confident in what God has saved, because we are saved based on His promises, His word, His grace, and His gift. And He has declared that in His word. These are the words of God, who says, if you believe, you have. I want you to know that you know that you know that you have eternal life, not because of your subjective experiences, but because of my objective truth. Because I say so. So let us rely upon His word. That will give us certainty. Amen? I hope so. So I want you to think about this, just so that we make sure. Number one, God wants His children to be assured of a couple of things. And I'm going to show you two different places where John writes about assurance. Okay? See, number one, John was inspired by the Spirit to write his gospel, not this letter, the gospel of John, to assure us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You see, at the end of the gospel of John, towards the end of the gospel of John, in chapter 20, in verses 30 and 31, John the apostle says this: so then, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written. See that? Okay, here's the reason. This stuff that I've written on this book called the Gospel of John, was I inspired? Yes, I was. And what did I write? I wrote the story of Jesus. Why did I write it? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. See that? The reason why John wrote the Gospel of John is so that we may know that we know that we know that Jesus is the Son of God and He is the Christ, and that we may believe and have life in Him. Okay? So that gives us a certainty of Jesus. But then we turn a little bit forward. Okay? See, in the second part, he also wrote the epistle. Now we're talking about this letter, so that we may be sure that we are children of God. You see that? There's a difference. He wrote the gospel so that we make sure that we know who Christ is. And now he writes this letter so that we may know who we are in Christ. God wants His children to know that they belong to Him. He wants us to be sure. Verse 13, once again, why have I written these things to you? So that you who believe in the Son of God may know that you have eternal life. This is way too simple. God wants us to have the assurance of salvation. We should not live our lives wondering and questioning and worrying each day if we're truly saved or not. As a matter of fact, let's just continue on for a second here. Now, John chapter 10. I just can't get over this. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 29. I want you to check this out. These verses are so crucial to this. I want you to look at this. Once again, John speaking. At the time, the feast of the dedication, this is what today is known as Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights, took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple area in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then surrounded Him and began saying to Him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. I mean, see, they just wanted to hear, it's like, I am the Christ, right? And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these, what? Testify of me. Oh my God, what He does testifies of Him. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. You see, there's believers, there's unbelievers. There's a separation. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And check this out, verse 28, beautiful. And I give them eternal life. You see that? I give them eternal life. And they will what? Never perish. You can, oh my God, you can circle, highlight, underline, and put an exclamation point there. You will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Come on. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Yikes! Talk about a powerful statement from Jesus. He's saying, you know what? If you belong to me, you'll never belong to anybody else. Ain't no one can take you from me. You're mine. I got you in my hand. Dare me. Try to take them from me. And then he says, the Father and I are one. He talks about they're in my hand. And then he says, they're in the Father's hand. Come on. Because Jesus and the Father are one essence. When you are in Christ, you are born of God. Period. And when you're born of him, he will never deny you. You belong to him. When we question our salvation, you're not questioning salvation. What you're questioning is God's words and his promises to you. You're questioning God himself. So think about that. Now, of course, the certainty of our salvation does not mean that this eternal life is shaped or lived our own way. See, that's the problem. That's when we run into little problems. Because we start shaping our Christian lives in our own way, and then that's when the doubt starts setting in. So when we talk about the certainty of eternal life, it'll be good if we pair that up with some of the characteristics of the true Christian life, of a true eternal life. And I'm just going to give you a few here because there's too many. I'm just going to give you four. But this is something for us to check ourselves. Okay? It would be very helpful at this point to talk about some of these characteristics, because it's not about, you know, everyone, you know, once you're a Christian, you have license to live abundantly, yes. You have license to live freely, yes, but not on your own terms. It's got to be on God's terms, amen? That's when we run into problems, because people think that when we say that we can rest assured in his salvation, is that we're saying once saved, always saved. Yes, we are. But once saved, always saved does not mean once saved, I do whatever I want, right? And this is very important that people understand this. Everyone, check this out, true believers practice righteousness. These are some of the marks of the eternal life. Number one, a true believer practices righteousness. Righteousness. In 1 John in chapter 2, verse 29, a little bit, before this, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Righteousness. But we hear this word righteousness, and what does it mean? Well, a simple definition that you can find in a biblical theology dictionary, Baker's Evangelical Dictionary, which is pretty good, means this: a life in conformity to a known standard or law. Righteousness means a life that is conformed to a standard or law. Basically, righteousness is living under the law of God. And the law of God is love, right? Living the way Jesus lived. That's righteousness. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. And what? In his righteousness. Seek to live under his lordship, under his kingdom. How? Living rightfully, following his rules. That's what righteousness is about. The practice of righteousness means that I have the courage to do the right thing and to do good even when the circumstances are difficult. Regardless of circumstances, I do the right thing and I do what's good. That's righteousness. You see, if we're born of God, it will be evidenced by a practice of righteousness. It'll be seen. What are we showing? What is our way of living? Are we living righteously, or are we living under our own rules? You see, I know that I live under my own rules when I start saying, but. I know that the Bible says, but. I know that God wants me to do what's right, but. I know that I'm supposed to do, but. Get that but out of there. And start living righteously. Start doing what God asks of you. Start doing what God asks of me. Do not wait. Do not just leave it out there. Oh, yeah, I will do it. I will do what's right, but not yet. I'll do it later. We don't say it like that. We don't say to people, we don't say to God, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to do it later. We just quietly go about it because we know it's wrong. So let's live it up. Let's make it right. Okay, let's make things right with God. Number two, true believers do not practice sin. No one who is born of God practices sin. That's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, we already talked about this. If you were here a few months ago when we talked about this chapter, this is not saying that Christians are sinless. Because if you look at that and you pair it up with what John said in the first chapter in verse 8, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. What he's saying is that as a Christian, I cannot make of sin a habitual practice or something that I just continually practice just out of my own free will and doing whatever I want just because, like, I've given up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to continue doing this anyway. I cannot conquer this sin. I know that I'm supposed to do right, but I'm doing wrong. So what the heck? I'll just continue. That's what John is talking about. What John is trying to do here is to make certain that we do not live as if we just allow sin. And we practice sin in our lives as we were powerless. We cannot make peace. Somebody said this, and I like that. We cannot make peace with a pattern of sinful behavior. We cannot make peace with sin and say, okay, I know I'm not going to be able to do the right thing here, so I'll just continue doing the wrong thing. That is not how true Christians live, all right? So not only we practice righteousness, but we also do not practice sin. So you practice one thing, but not the other. True believers love the church. Oh, my God. This is very important. We love the church. We love the church. We love the brethren. We love one another. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Now, the brethren, of course, is woo-hoo. Who's the brethren? Who's the brethren? Look around. They're right here. Is there someone in here that you love? Is there someone in here you have difficulty loving? You know, check yourself. I need to check me too. Yeah, because we're supposed to love one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, another chapter before it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. There you go. I don't need to be saying anything else. We need to love one another. When we start doing that, things will be different. Last but not least, the true believer overcome the world. True believers overcome the world. Whoever has been born from God overcomes the world. And that's the victory, that we have overcome the world. How? By faith. Not by our strength, not by our might, but by our faith. The true believer experiences victories in his life that only come from a relationship with Christ. That's how you know. You know, when you start looking at your life and you think, you know what? If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have been able to blank. Right? If it wasn't for Jesus, I would still be blank. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd still blank. When you start looking at those things in your life, that's what I'm talking about. That's when you know you're overcoming. When you start overcoming the world, when you start overcoming your sin, when you start maturing in the faith, all that results in one thing, becoming more like Christ. Becoming less like the world and becoming more like Christ. But we love looking like the world. You can see it in all the selfies. don't we? We do the same thing. What's happening with us? I don't know. That's just one little thing. You know, there's so many other things, but we need to be careful. We need to be so, so careful. If you bear these birthmarks that I've told you, you know, practicing righteousness, not practicing sin, believing, loving, and conquering, then you can say with confidence that you're a child of God, but not because of you, but because He tells you. And if you're certain, great. And if you're not, God wants you to be certain. Because there's one thing that can be a certainty. There's one thing that is for certain. God has already done everything in His power to make sure that you have a chance at eternal life, but only in Christ. He has made everything. He's done everything you could ever think for and more, so that whoever believes may have eternal life, may not perish, but have eternal life in Christ Jesus. God is a giver, and He's generous like no other. He's a generous giver. He gives eternal life, not because we've earned it, but because He loves us. See, this gift has a name, and His name is Jesus, His beloved Son, who was given for you and me on a cross. The one who took your wages of death upon Him, what we deserved, what we earned. But if you certainly believe with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, you can also be certain of the life that He gives. Would you like to start living that eternal life? Would you like to be gifted with that kind of life?
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.